Good morning. Today is Monday, August 3rd. My name is Jay Leesk, and this is This Week in Teams.
Hi, this is Craig Jenke. I am here with Jay. And Jay, we've got a guest today for This Week in Teams, which is a little different than how we normally operate. So we just jump into it. Bobby, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks so much, Jay and Craig, for having me. My name is Bobby Ching. I'm a technical specialist with Microsoft serving the federal civilian customers.
Good to be Bobby. Here. I'm really happy to have you. Bobby and I go back quite a few years here in the D.C. area, overlapping on our customer bases. We met while you were doing a lot of stuff on Modern Workplace, but today you've switched over to the business app side. What's that mean?
Yeah, you know, what's fun is that, you know, when we talk about biz apps and, you know, the Power Platform story, the dynamic stories, right, we're kind of getting out of the mode where we're talking only specifically around that specific services or platforms or technology or even Microsoft Cloud, right? We're then also talking about more on the construct of how do we make sure that all these pieces come together, whether that's Team, whether that's SAP, Oracle, let's make it happen. So I'm really interested in that side of the business and how do we talk to customers, just get stuff done and streamline an application.
So what you're talking about there, it's kind of more the traditional technologist side from connecting all of the apps and such. But when we have most of our listeners, we're talking about on the business user. What is going on with your face, man?
Oh man, this is say hello there. The new workplace, right?
That's fantastic.
I was like, it's like somebody's flashing a flashlight on his face.
Your coworkers.
That's our new normal over here. You know, I got to work on the do not enter sign that hasn't made it to the office yet.
That's cool. That's cool, man. I'm impressed. You weren't flinching at all when that light was hitting your eye. I'm
yeah. Okay, yeah. Sir, you have to give me 5 minutes. Okay.
So, that's okay. Plenty of time. Apologize for calling that out. So as I was saying, it's you know, the technology side of connecting all the apps, but really it's more of a focus on the business user and what they're trying to do, right?
Absolutely. It's all at the end of the day, you know, I mean, us technologists, right? I mean, Craig and Jay, we get excited about what's the technology behind it. And let me show you all these cool things that we can do. But at the end of the day, you know, and that's why I love the podcast that, you know, this show that you're working on, and that it focuses on the business and on the users, right? Like, how do we talk to the users? How do we make sure that on the business side, they get excited and they say, hey, this is something that I can pick up, not necessarily for all of my applications and my use cases, but for a lot of the things, especially that impact smaller subset of users, can I then kind of mobilize that and get the user started and even just, you know, feel empowered to create a lot of these components themselves.
Nice. So what have you been working on most recently then?
Yeah, a lot of the conversations, to be honest, Craig, is more on just that very topic. You know, how do we, number one, empower, enlighten people to feel like they know about the technology and feel comfortable enough to create a lot of these applications using things like Power Apps in terms of they form intake and mobile application, right? And how do we make sure that they're comfortable enough using Power Automate to be able to do workflow automation and also get into the dashboard and insight stuff using Power BI. So the components is what's the shift that we see are interested, you know, as a Microsoft employee, you know this, right, Craig? Like we're often put in front of like centralized IT, which we still do, talk to folks like CISOs to talk about security and compliance side of our services, which we still do. But the interesting shift that I've seen, you know, in my short time, even in Microsoft here, is that we're starting to get in front of the business too, to start talk about use cases and say, hey, can we talk about some of the things that you're doing now, you know, whether that's modernizing things like InfoPath and SharePoint Designer Workflow, right? The things that we all know and love so much and are still very much supported, but also then take on some of the new use cases too from an enterprise application development perspective.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. Kind of funny is I'm catching it slightly different. Like the people that want to talk to you are the business users, the end users, and still the gatekeepers are being IT is being the gatekeepers. So they're like, hey, let's pull it back. Let's make sure we understand everything. We don't want to have to support this stuff if we don't understand what's going on. So, I've been doing a lot of the back end training on it, although I've been doing more of the teams where you've been in more of the business apps. So.
Yeah. And what's interesting with that shift, right, Craig, it kind of puts this in the surface really of like, at the end of the day, people just want to get stuff done. Like, this is nothing new, right?
Right.
Like, shadow IT has been happening forever. It's just like, hey, if you're not going to allow us and empower us, we're going to find another way to do it to get job done. You know?
So, yeah.
But what's interesting is that a lot of these services are more in the front of users, you know, of it showing up in the waffle and different areas, right? Like, talks like this are all readily available and free. People are just more educated about the services that they do have access over. It kind of creates a fun shift in conversation, I see.
Yeah. So, the nice thing about it being in Microsoft with Power Apps, Power Automate, it does give the IT, you know, one pane of glass to kind of look and control all that. So we always tell them, I always tell them, if you're going to have them doing shadow IT, have them do it in the environment you can control, right?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
They're going to do it anyways.
Nice.
So we brought you on because it was originally, not only we brought you on because you're a great guy and we wanted to hear from you, but you know, one of the things we were talking about, or Jay was talking about prior to this, or we talked about last episode, a bunch of news coming out of Inspire. And a big thing was CDS was being changed to DataFlex and also DataFlex from Teams. And while we play in Teams a lot, and I played with Power Apps and Automate a little bit, the CDS is, or DataFlex now, is something that I don't have a whole lot of familiar with. Know about it, but we don't know that much about it. So we were hoping you could give us a little bit of insight into how that's going to work.
Yeah, absolutely. You brought up a really good, I think, introduction of what this DataFlex thing is about, right? Number one, of course, Microsoft being typical Microsoft, we just like to rename stuff every 6 months or so, right? And just trying to roll it under new branding. Yes. But actually, for this one, I actually like the rebranding. A lot of times when we talk about, you know, what was the predecessor service, as you mentioned, Craig, already, right, Jane, is that it's we kind of call it CDS, which is short for Common Data Service. And a lot of times it's, you know, spending even like 20 minutes to unpack the name, like, why is the CDS, you know, well, there's this thing called a Common Data Model, which is an open data initiative, right? You kind of go and start, you wanted to talk about use cases, you start to go on this tangent just on the name itself, right?
Yep.
But for me, the name DataFlex, you know, so CDS, which is Common Data Service, is now being renamed to DataFlex Pro. And then we then underneath DataFlex Pro are including a new offering called DataFlex, which is just on the Teams context. It's exciting from for a couple of reasons. Number one is the enablement story, right? We talked about the business just even introducing this show of, you know, this kind of puts it at the hand of the end users and the information worker and the power users, right? Folks love Teams. I love Teams. We kind of start and end our days a lot of times once we embrace that Teams connected story in Teams, right? You check your chat, you check your meeting, you start a meeting, you make your phone calls, you check the chats, you collaborate on files. All that happens in one single service, which is amazing, right? How do we build on that story on the application development side? So I'm really excited about the DataFlex introduction into Teams because it continues on that connected story. You know, there are going to be apps which we know right now, whether that's third party or first party, right? Meaning like Planner is a first party, that's Microsoft only. But right. You might be pulling things like from ServiceNow or Oracle or SAP or Salesforce.com that still surface up inside of Teams. Can we layer another custom customization option in there using DataFlex to make sure that when you're creating apps and interacting with data, you're still not having to switch context, right? Because we know that if we leave an application, we lose productivity in the process.
Right.
So as much as we can have inside of Teams, and being able to pull interactions, regardless of where it sits, into your Teams experience, I think is a really exciting one. Because what we saw before with Power Apps, and of course, you know, we all come from a SharePoint background, right? And for us, it's just like, of course, a natural, you know, like what you know you're comfortable with, that's where you're gonna provide from a building perspective, right? Like, let's build the application or the list and the interactions here in SharePoint. And what we start to see is that there are some components where SharePoint is not very good at. And it pains for me to say that, of course, right? As SharePoint lists, for example, is meant to scale. It's meant to scale to 30 million plus records. But when we start to go sideways from a standpoint of having lookups and information that goes across on another source list, that's when SharePoint starts to fall apart, right? Think about like expense, reporting or activity reporting. You have some codes that you have to pull in from another list. All those kinds of interaction, if you want to put that on a SharePoint list, it starts to fall apart. So what this DataFlex is going to provide is those relational data modeling exercise. When you have one list, when you're going to say, hey, this is where our data entry goes, but it's going to reference all these source codes that lives on all the other tables, right? Okay. Or for lack of a better word, or all, or these lists that's then connected to this entry. I can do that now with DataFlex, right? To the relationship modeling, you know, the one-to-many or one-to-one, all those components without sacrificing my experience in DataFlex. So it's a pretty exciting one from an empowerment story, and it's also a good one from a naming story, because CDS, again, to what I was mentioning earlier, it's it was hard for people to get behind the name. Why Common Data Service? What does that mean? You know, DataFlex is kind of leaning towards, hey, we're a tied into a data story, to the data modeling capabilities that we talked about. But we have also then this concept of the basics, which is the DataFlex in Teams, and the pro, if you want to step up into the full DataFlex pro, which was the common data service in the back end. I did a lot of talking there. I just want to take a quick pause to make sure.
No, it was good. It was
does that make sense? Yeah. What are your thoughts?
So no, it does make sense. One thing I'm trying to figure out is when I'm talking to the business users, when I'm talking to, you know, the people who are going to be using this system, why do they care about DataFlex? Or more specifically, how does it help them in a day-to-day basis? Is it someone else develops something with DataFlex and it makes them able to connect to things? Or is this something they're going to be able to take advantage of themselves?
Absolutely. We hope that it's both, right, Jay? Because at the end of the day, when we talk about teams and information workers, you know, folks that are consuming themselves on teams, and if they want to take the next step onto the application development realm, a lot of times, you know, like developers could very much take that story, but we also want to make sure that that story is proliferated to the business, because at the end of the day, the business knows the requirements the best, right?
Yep.
So if we can make that process easy in terms of developing apps and creating this data modeling exercise that we talked about, then they're going to feel very empowered and wanting to do that component. So we very much support the aspects of making sure that teams are and the people that are going to be working with teams can take advantage of that. At the same time, just like Power Platform and Teams, we're in the position where if you do want to do custom development, if you do want to do something that is beyond the capability that it provides, that we provide that framework for that, right? Craig, you mentioned also that the services and everything that comes along with it has visibility to the admin perspective too. So if we did talk to centralized IT and administrator, we want to give them that confidence that things that end users are doing, you're going to be able to audit that. You're going to be able to make sure that they're kind of developing within the confine that you're comfortable with, and inside of the compliance boundary that you want to put a guardrails around as well, right?
Yeah, that's one of the important parts as far as they're concerned. They don't really care what people do as long as they can govern it.
Yeah,
as long as I can govern it, I can audit it. I can slap people when they're doing something wrong.
Absolutely.
Well, and it's also I've heard this phrase a bunch. Data is the currency right now. Like, yes, money means something, but data is how we make it. And to be able to have controls around that data, to protect that data, make sure only the right people are accessing it, make sure it is accessible. That's a huge part of it. So yes, it is about being able to slap people on the back of the hand when they do something wrong, but it's also about making sure they have access to it without doing something wrong. You know, one of my favorite stories about business users taking advantage of this platform, you guys have probably both heard of Sameet Saini from Heathrow Airport. He was a security officer, frontline worker security officer, who sat down one night and started looking into Power Apps and is now part of the IT DevOps shop at Heathrow Airport, because he sat down and realized, like, hey, even though I'm a frontline worker, I can access all of this content and I can start building apps that help me that helped me gain access to translation capabilities, that helped me gain access to commonly known problems in the area, and completely changed how that team did what they did. So a tool like Dataflex, I appreciate where you're coming from, because it gives that framework for end users to get into the more complex problems that they need solutions for, and it helps them kind of take that step forward.
No, you're right on, Jay. And then, you know, to tack on that a little bit more, Sumit, right? I mean, it's there are some problems that honestly, it's not, may not even have a complex solutions behind it, right? Because at the end of the day, like, you know, us IT people, we like to bring the latest gadget into the picture, right? But a simplified solution sometimes does the job. And what's fascinating about what Sumit has done is he has transformed the entire operation of that airport, right? And number two, think about the career trajectory of him too, right? Now he's a business application MVP. He's got to shake Satya's hand in one of our major conferences, right? Like just think about the leaps and bounds from a career perspective too, just because he was a business that was not held back by IT, that was felt empowered to redo business processes in a modern way. I think it's really inspiring when you hear stories like that. It really is.
Yeah,
absolutely. You see those all over now. I mean, with this platform, there's teachers that are doing it. There's frontline workers that are doing it. So just anybody who has access and, you know, maybe not be the most technical people, but a little bit of, you know, have a little bit of being able to think logically, can just put out some pretty powerful tools, and it doesn't have to be anything complicated, right? If it's just a simple checklist or approval list that can save, you know, 10 to 15 minutes every time it's done, and it's something that's done hundreds of times a day or a week or a month, that's a huge savings for an organization. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
And we talked about, like, oh, I'm sorry, Jay, I was just saying, like, we talked about sort of the next graduation too, right? Like, in terms of, like, hey, you can very much still continue on your information worker story, but what if you wanted to kind of push that to the next step, right? What I love about this story too is just, I think about all the ISVs and even, you know, us from a worldwide perspective, Microsoft provides solution at the ready all the time, right? Like things like the crisis communication app, a lot of the components from a COVID perspective that we try to help provide our customers at no cost, right? Saying, hey, here's some apps that we just created inside of our Microsoft tenant that we found helpful that we then are now sharing out to our customers as well. What this does is it has that entry point from a team's perspective too. So imagine apps that ISV and, you know, or even internally that you're creating that you find helpful to be able to share that out. You can now easily package that with the Dataflex backend to be able to expand that to other parts of your organization. I think it's a fantastic story.
Yeah. So let me ask this. Okay, so the announcement this week was the change, the name change from CDS to Dataflex Pro, the announcement of Dataflex for Teams. So two-part question. The first part is, when can we get our hands on it? Has that been announced? And the second part is, from a business user's perspective, you know, it's a low-code environment. How do I get my hands on it once it does roll into my tenant?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I was frantically looking to see if I can sneak into the tech community here, if I can see general availability. I don't remember, to be honest with you, Jay and Craig, if we ended up with an actual a date. I think we did for commercial. Of course, you know, Jay, you and I are in regulated industry, and we have to talk about the GCC and what the government cloud is, right? I'll have to double back to make sure that we do have that. If we do, maybe share it out as a link for folks to refer to, so absolutely, we can get at the timeline availability. But yeah, it's something that I for one have not gotten my hands around it as well. I'm super excited because what the Dataflex for Teams is going to provide is a quick development experience from Teams. And also, if you haven't caught any of the video, you know, we'll make sure to include it on the link here. But there's also kind of this ease of entry for data entry, all in context of Dataflex for Teams, okay, right? And for those of you that work with CDS or now it's Dataflex Pro, I'll be frank, like entering data there, it sometimes could be a bit of a pain, right?
It's not the easiest thing in the world I've played with it.
Again, we're coming in from SharePoint, right? Like the investment into lists, into now what's called Microsoft Lists, that's even above what SharePoint services provide. You kind of get envious, right? Like, hey, man, like we obviously know how to create like really easy data entry point. Like, why can't we borrow that? Well, some of those things are going to start to make its way to Dataflex for Teams. Excellent. And what's good about that is they're going to take those capability and make that available as well in Dataflex Pro, which is the CDS currently, or the previously renamed CDS. So I'm really excited about that, Jay. You know, cross fingers. I mean, once I have access to it, we get timeline availability. We'll make sure we make it available to your listener as well.
That'll be interesting because it seems like changes have been coming at warp speed lately since the whole COVID. Like things that used to take a lot. Oh, everybody needs them. Get it out there.
Yeah, it's equal parts awesome and scary. Like the pace that we've seen things come out of Microsoft with, especially you keep mentioning, Bobby, we come from that SharePoint world. So we're used to that 3-year life cycle.
Yeah.
There's a release. There's a handful of updates, but they're minor compared to the major changes. And then 3 years later, there's another release. And here we're looking at 2 months where we're getting massive changes, even from announcements like, oh, here it is. Oh, it's generally available today.
And it's
like,
there, right?
Yeah. I do. I appreciate you saying it. You know, that our federal and defense customers have a slower release cycle. And we do try when we're talking about release, when we get that, like the monthly release from Teams, what's coming, we try to focus some of our time on what's coming to you guys. But just knowing that this is coming and knowing how important this is going to be, I can't imagine that at least the GCC level will be far behind the commercial side.
Yeah, so. What is interesting too, and I'll share some without hopefully cross fingers breaking my NDA here, but it's interesting what you're seeing even on the Microsoft internal side, right, Craig? I'm seeing a lot of brand new organizational units in the business application side and the Power Platform side that was created just for this fiscal year. Of course, Microsoft, for those of you that don't know, start their fiscal year in July. So we just started our fiscal year here for 2021. As we move over to fiscal year, a lot of times there are org changes. Some of the org changes, which I'm really excited about, are specific orgs that are aligned to government customers. So we have one for business application that is going to help orchestrate those feature parity that we're talking about, Jay.
Excellent.
So that's really exciting to hear. I mean, all those were happening before, but a lot of times, sometimes it's kind of happening organically between org units in terms of finding out where feature parities are. As of this fiscal for business application, there is a dedicated team that's going to help to communicate that, to make sure that the parity is always there. What that's going to do is provide some more accountability, I think, at the engineering side to make sure that when they're creating something, there's always a government backlog behind it. So I'm super excited about that change there.
That's awesome. I didn't expect that announcement, or I didn't expect you to talk about that today. So that's really good. Fingers crossed that doesn't get you in trouble.
Yeah. Or we can edit this part out, right?
He'll just say hypothetically, this is what a rumor has. I don't know if it's true.
Well, that's Bobby, I really appreciate you walking us through, you know, the importance that this announcement brings to the end user, some information on timing, and just generally really appreciate you joining us on the cast. So thank you. We look forward to having you again soon sometime.
Let's do
hey,
it.
Before Thanks. You guys leave, did you check out the NBA games on Teams with that was
together mode, right?
What?
Together mode.
It was actually a lot better than I thought it would be. It seemed like they had a couple rows of people in the first couple. Well, I don't know if they were like people who belonged to the team, but then they had some big boards on it. Jeff Teeper was on it on one of the games, I believe. He tweeted it. But I saw a couple of the players' families were in the stands and stuff and in the virtual stands. It looked really cool. I thought it was pretty awesome. Pretty good props for Microsoft and for Teams in general. So if you haven't seen that, go out and look for it.
it's cool, right? Because Craig, it's real and it's not manufactured. It's people's faces, right? Albeit like the audio is muted for good reason, right? We don't know what's gonna fly out there. We're trying to keep it PG or below, right? But to see people's reaction live as, you know, the shots are being taken, you know, and pump that excitement back into a virtual kind of focused game. I think it's
the cardboard cutout.
Yeah. It's better than the MLB, like all these like manufactured game noise, right? That they're taking from MLB games to put it into the stands.
Now I will say
what's interesting about the MLB when they weren't doing the noise, my wife happened to walk by and she's like, oh, it's so cool that you can hear them actually like call the ball and tell them what they're going to do and all that. So I thought that was actually an interesting side effect of the no fan noise.
So one comment. So I know the DJ down in the Dallas area for the Dallas Stars for hockey and then for the Rangers, same guy. And he actually, that manufactured game noise, it's actually fans. So he put a couple of calls out for audio. And he has created that fan noise by getting fans to record themselves doing chants and actually like bringing what they would bring in live and then bringing it together. And so that's really cool. But I agree with you. I think what they've done here, and I'm just looking at some pictures now, it's really a cool next step. Like that concept of you can't be here, so let's bring you here virtually. I appreciated what MLB did with the cardboard cutouts. I hadn't thought of anything better. And I would have, if I were a season ticket holder down in Dallas still, I totally would have done it. But then the fact that the NBA went, okay, like that's a great idea, but you know, hold my beer. Here's what we're going to do. I think this is a great technological advancement. So it was really cool.
Well, I think if you're doing it to Disney, like they're in Disney, right? That's the place to do it. Like they're already making weird stuff happen. So or great stuff happen. Then you combine it with the power of Microsoft and you got, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really cool. I mean, I originally when I saw that from the team's engineering, I felt like it was kind of gimmicky, you know, until we actually run like, you know, a few of that internally on our brainstorming meeting, you know, where. Yeah. You know, in a gallery mode that most people are most used to, right? Like we call it like now is the Brady Bunch when you can have 9+ people kind of looking up and down, right, at each other. It's helpful, but when you have a big group of people and you're brainstorming and you want to just see them kind of digesting information, not necessarily speaking, because the gallery mode is really good when somebody's speaking, but when somebody's muted and thinking and to kind of catch that nonverbal part of the communications and see it all in one page. I think it's been helpful even in some of the internal meetings that we're having. So, you know, it's one of those side effects that you didn't think you were going to have. And now I'm getting behind it. You know, it's a lot of exciting new stuff.
Cameras when I'm having meetings with them. I can get 9 people to turn on the camera, that would be awesome.
We're working from home, dude. It is amazing the power of pressure that when you put your video on and all of a sudden like random people start putting their video on, like, you know, that peer pressure is working. Bobby, I really like what you just said and we'll kind of wrap up here, but that concept of getting the facial expressions, the body language, I never really thought about it from a sports perspective, but having these giant TVs wrapping the arena and like you said, being able to see your fans cheer and jump out of their chairs or whatever when you score that pivotal shot, like that's actually really cool. I hadn't thought about it. So I look forward to seeing what else comes out of Microsoft Teams engineering and the Imagineers down at Disney.
We'll get robots in the stands late pretty soon.
You know, the NFL's been talking about robots for decades, right? All right, gentlemen, nice Bobby, talking. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a blast.
Thank you, Bobby.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it. Take care, guys.
Take care.
Thanks.